Welcome to another episode of Cybersecurity for All podcast, a podcast all about cybersecurity from ApeTech. I'm your host, Alex, and today we're going to be taking a deep dive into browser privacy. Piggybacking off my episode last week, I want to explore different popular web browsers and see which one protects your privacy the most. Maybe it's time that you change browsers up a bit. Before we jump into the episode, let me update you on a few things. We just crossed over 851 downloads. Thank you to everyone that has helped me crush my goal. It's not even the end of the month. Heck, we're not even done with the first week of the month, and we're already that much closer to my goal of hitting 1,000 downloads. I was initially estimating that we'd be at 1,000 by the end of summer, but because we're all pulling here together, I think we can get there by the end of May. So please feel free to share my podcast with your friends and family so they too can benefit from Cybersecurity for All. If you want to leave a message, there is a voicemail URL in the episode description that you can use to get a hold of me. Also, apetech.me/social is where you can find me and everything else that I'm working on. I'm very active on Twitter, and you can find me there at apetechda. If you enjoy the cybersecurity content but you want a little bit more, feel free to check me out on TikTok. I post even more content there about cybersecurity, and I'm doing things that are a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more trendy. And I'm also running a series where I'm basically walking you through my side hustle journey. So make sure at ApeTechDA on TikTok is where to find me. Lastly, if you're looking for a guest speaker or if you would like to be a guest on my podcast, please let me know. I'm currently looking to expand in May and I am trying to get a guest speaker or be a guest on somebody else's podcast. So if you feel that there might be an opportunity to make a connection, please let me know. Feel free to email me at letschat@apetech.me. All the information is in the episode description. All right, enough of the updates. Let's get into the episode. What is browser privacy? Every browser is created differently. Most browsers are completely free, and some even come bundled with your computer. Every browser comes with their specific methods of tracking its users. If you value your privacy, you may pick one browser over another. If you value speed or scalability, you might pick a completely different browser altogether. Today, we're going to be talking about browsers and specifically their privacies. We're going to be taking a closer look at the popular web browsers and compare their privacy policies. But before we jump into analyzing all the different browsers, I want to talk about incognito mode. This is a mode that many modern browsers have. And it basically allows you to browse the internet privately. And I wanted to bring this up because you might be asking yourself, well, why change browsers when I can just go incognito, right? Well, I essentially want to try to answer this question by basically explaining incognito mode and then going into discussing each browser. So incognito mode, if you're not aware, is basically a perfect way to stay hidden online and avoid having your personal information tracked by websites. The locations of websites you visit are forgotten. For example, like your browsing history is not saved. And the login information you provide to websites is also not saved, right? So if you're trying to log in to a website and you click on that Remember Me box, in incognito mode, you will not be remembered. Because every time you enter incognito mode, it's like a blank slate, right? So not all things are glorious when you're browsing privately. You may have noticed that some websites basically don't work, right? Some will complain that you have an ad blocker enabled or that you need to enable it if you want to continue using the site. You might be logging into a website that requires your username and password, except you can't remember your password because you've become so dependent on your browser remembering your password for you that you simply have forgotten the password you use for that website. Or the website might prompt you for a two-factor authentication, and it gets annoying because every time you come to the website, you're prompting with the same two-factor authentication, and the whole Remember Me kind of goes out the window because that's the whole purpose of the privacy, right? Like, it's for that to not remember you. So it can become a little bit annoying. So privacy definitely comes in at a price, and for some, they don't mind paying that price, right? Inconvenience when using the internet is a price you must determine if you want to pay when you're browsing privately. All right. So in a nutshell, like, incognito mode is a great mode for all the browsers that basically help escalate the privacy of your browser, with the drawback that it's not on by default, right? You have to intentionally enter incognito mode. And it, I wouldn't say it breaks the whole internet experience, but it definitely changes the experience a bit, right? So I think even though most browsers have it and it's definitely an option, I want to talk about all the different browsers and their, like, how they handle privacy, so that you can get a better understanding or maybe an appreciation for what the browser that you're using is doing to protect your privacy. And just know that incognito mode is something that you can definitely enable and utilize. And as long as you remember to do it, then you should be fine. But the purpose of this episode is going to be to basically analyze the different browsers to see what by default, right, out of the box, what kind of protection are you getting? All right, so let's jump into the first browser. I'm trying to handle this like by level of popularity. And even though I'm trying to rephrase this, because popularity not by like likes, but popularity by like the number of installations, right? And so Microsoft Edge, as much as people don't like it, or maybe you do like it, it comes with every install of Windows 10, right? So there's billions of installs of Windows 10, so that means there's billions of installs of Edge. So Edge comes with every install of Windows 10, and I personally do not use this browser because I used to have a bad taste in my mouth from the Internet Explorer days. I worked in defense, and I had to use Internet Explorer for almost every single application. And as a developer making web applications, Microsoft the Internet Explorer was my pain child, right? Like, it was horrible. So not good memories in my mind from Internet Explorer. So because of that, I don't even give Edge a try. So Edge touts two major things, though, that as I'm observing their website and navigating through their site, is interesting to me. So first is compatibility, right? So so many businesses invested so much of their time and effort into creating these Internet Explorer apps, specifically like, I come from the defense world, but I remember we built a lot of applications that were specifically designed to run an Internet Explorer, and they wouldn't really run in other browsers. And so what's interesting to me is, like, not only is Edge the browser for business, but its compatibility with Internet Explorer is like something that they really highlight. It's basically supposed to work with all those legacy Internet Explorer apps. And the second is safety. A good portion of the website explains all the different ways that Edge protects you online from malware and other types of threats, right? And after some searching, like, I had to scroll around for a bit, I did manage to find a link on privacy. And what's interesting is how much Edge is marketed towards businesses and enterprise professionals. By default, Edge is configured to follow your Windows 10 privacy settings. This is bad if you don't know, because Windows 10 loves to spy on you, like, a lot, right? So if your Windows 10 settings are set to max spy, then your Edge browser is going to follow suit. They also have a white paper on their privacy policy, which is basically just they state how they're tracking you. Microsoft surprisingly is very transparent on how they're tracking you and what they're doing, right? And they're showing you, like, with every capability within its browser, whether it's like autofulfill or casting or a bunch of other things that they have listed on there, like, they're just telling you, like, point blank, like, look, if you want to enjoy these functionalities in our browser, we're going to be tracking you, and so you might as well know about it, right? So I appreciate the transparency, and I appreciate the honesty. In conclusion, just tracking you a lot, and it helps Microsoft improve the overall experience of Windows. So use at your own caution. It's not a bad browser. It's getting better. Microsoft is continuing to turn a leaf, and it's definitely going away from the Ballmer and Bill Gates era. So it's a lot friendlier, and it's a lot better. But it's just, again, I just have a bad taste in my mouth, so I personally don't use it. Next up, we're going to go to another web browser that comes installed with almost every computer sold from its manufacturer, and that's going to be Safari. So every Mac has this browser installed by default. Let's take a look at what Apple markets on their website. right out of the gate, the first two things that you see is they address speed and privacy. So Safari offers intelligent tracking prevention, which identifies trackers and helps prevent them from following you across the web. For every website you visit, a privacy report is generated, which allows you to see all the trackers that were blocked. Think of this like an ad blocker, right? It's just going to be like a little list that literally tells you, we blocked these 12, 20, 30 trackers. I really don't use Safari all that much, but I really think it's time to give it a shot. They're really working on expandability. So one of the things that make other browsers like Chrome, right? Like Chrome's like probably the most popular one because of their Chrome OS and their usage in classrooms, and because of the way developers have utilized Chrome to extend its capabilities, right? There's so many plugins and extensions for Chrome that other browsers just can't even compete in that space. So it looks like Safari is also, just by looking at their website, they're investing a lot into making it fast, making it scalable and extensible. All right. So if you got a Mac or and maybe you don't know this, but Safari is a multi-platform browser, right? So you can install it on your phones, you can install it on any desktop. So it's going to work everywhere you're at. So give it a shot. I don't really use it. I have Chrome installed on almost every single one of my computers, but we're going to jump into Chrome right now. And let me tell you, I might have a difference of opinion. I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, Safari is definitely a browser that if you're looking to change, it's one that I would recommend you start looking into. All right, let's jump into Chrome. All right, everyone's favorite browser, Chrome. Chrome is known for its speed, but most recently it has received some bad press because it takes up just so many computing resources. It is just ridiculous, right? Like just having a couple of tabs open, you're using up like 25-30% of your RAM or unutilized RAM space, right? So it's ridiculously like hogging resources. And if you're on a laptop and your battery's dying, it's probably Chrome. Interestingly enough, though, as I'm searching through their website, there is like literally absolutely no mention of privacy on their website for the Chrome browser. I'm not surprised, though, because Google depends on being able to track your each and every move to enhance your experience and more specifically, their profits. There is a general privacy disclaimer, but it's more of a generic, like, overall, this is the Google company's privacy policy and nothing specific to the browser. This is kind of alarming because I've been using Chrome since it came out, like, what, 2009, 2010 timeframe? And back then, like, people were using Chrome because of its speed, right? All the other browsers were just so, they've just tied down so much and used so many resources. But in 10 years, Chrome's come quite a bit. And I'm afraid to say it, but it's not one of my favorite browsers anymore, right? I mean, I depend on it almost every single day. And a lot of what I do is on like Google Docs and stuff like that. So it's kind of just up to where do you define your privacy, right? Where's your value in your privacy? And using Google Docs here is definitely not something that you should take like lightly, right? So if you're using Chrome and you want to improve your privacy, it might be time to cut the cord with all Google and go somewhere else. In a future episode, we are going to be talking about other browsers, other search engines. And we're also going to be exploring, and I might start an entire series of just exploring Google alternatives, because it's just really scary the amount of information. Like Google's like not even telling you, right? At least Microsoft, they're like openly telling you like, hey, look, we understand privacy is a thing, like, but here's how we're treating your privacy and here's what we're tracking and what we're doing with it. But Google's like, nah, you don't need to know any of that stuff. All right. So let's jump into the last two browsers here. And I think hopefully you'll get some value here. But another fan favorite, right? So Chrome is definitely like one of the most popular ones, but Firefox comes in at a very close second. And Firefox on their website, they come out swinging with privacy as well, right? Like, so unlike other browsers, they have on their website and they state, and I'm going to quote here, we have no financial stake in following you around the web. So those are powerful words right there. They offer a little interactive widget that allows you to see how Firefox protects your privacy when compared to other browsers. They also offer third-party cookie blocking, fingerprint blocking, and crypto mining blocking, along with so much more. Overall, Firefox is a solid browser that many already have. And by default, it does come with like Ubuntu and a couple of other Linux distributions. So if you had to pick between Chrome or Firefox, I probably start advising that you pick Firefox. I really do need to get off of Chrome, and Firefox is probably going to be the way that I go. I've never been a big fan of Firefox. I've used it in the past, and I've worked in the Linux world a lot, so by default I've used Firefox, so I don't have anything against it. I've just always just preferred, I guess, maybe the aesthetics of Chrome. But after looking at all this, I think it might be time that I really start reevaluating my love affair for Chrome and start finding another service here. And finally, let's wrap this up with looking at Opera or Opera. It's a web browser. It really isn't very well known, but I thought I'd throw it into the mix. You might remember the word Opera browser from our discussions on VPNs in a couple of episodes ago. So let's see how they value privacy. So right out of the gate, they advertise their virtual private network, which by default basically just means super high privacy. So obviously privacy is a high priority for the fine folks over at Opera. And since you're basically using a virtual private network by default, all of your traffic is always encrypted. So it can't be seen by others. So yeah, so I would say Opera is a really good, safe and privacy pro browser. It has built-in ad blocking and cryptocurrency mining blocking as well. And if you aren't a big fan of Firefox and you do not want to go get Chrome, I think Opera makes a good browser. I've personally never given it much thought, but I'm either just going to switch to Firefox, and I'm considering Safari, but I'm most likely going to lean towards Firefox. But if I had to pick something that's not Safari or Firefox, Opera would be a really good alternative. All right, so there you have it, your browser privacy 101 guide. I hope you take my advice here and go protect yourself. Be mindful of what data is being collected from you while you're browsing the internet. What do you think of my analysis? Are you going to change your default browser? I know this research has opened my eyes, and I will most likely be making some changes in the very near future. I know specifically, like if I pull up my resource monitor on my computer, I know Chrome is just eating up ridiculous amount of resources. So I'm curious to see, like, just from a performance and speed and like even folding security and privacy, how Firefox and other browsers really hold up. I've really just stayed on Chrome. So my entire experience of browsing the internet is through Chrome. I'd say like 90% of my experience. So I really do think I'm going to challenge myself and maybe download Safari and Firefox and start using those two a little bit more aggressively. Maybe start over, because I do have so much of my life is on Chrome, right? That I think it'd be good to maybe just start a new clean slate with a new browser. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you feel that someone you know could benefit from listening to this episode, please feel free to share with them. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to my podcast, and thank you so much for your support. I know I'm just getting started, but I'm excited to see where I take this podcast in the future. Thank you for being a part of this journey with me, and if you want to be a guest, or if I can be a guest on your podcast, please let me know. See you in the next one. Bye.